Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Proverbs 11 verse 30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." Now you think about the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. That's the first time we hear about the tree of life. It's in the Garden of Eden. And what did God say after man sinned? What did he say? He talked about them not eating of that tree, lest they live forever. Lest they live forever. So eating the fruit of the tree of life causes people to live forever. Live forever. So notice what it says. The fruit of the righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And our fruit is a tree of life. In other words, it causes people to be able to live forever. Not just exist forever. Everybody's going to exist forever. People are going to die, and a lot of people are going to go to hell, and they're going to exist in hell, but they're not going to be living it up. But the fruit of the righteous is able to cause people to live forever. And winning souls is wise. It's the wise thing to do. So how many people want to walk in the wisdom of God? We need God's wisdom in life, don't we? Well, it starts right here. It starts with being a tree of life, praise God, getting fruit to people. Think about it. You got fruit that can cause people to live forever. The devil's been feeding people all kinds of poisonous candy. But we've got fruit that causes people to live and not die and live forever. How many people have already passed from death to life themselves? We've eaten of that tree. We have eaten. Jesus is the way to that tree, right? Because in the garden, remember, they had the angels with the flaming swords guarding the way to the tree of life, lest man put his hands out, eat of it, and live forever? Notice, guard the way to the tree of life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So when you come to Jesus, you now the way is open to be able to have eternal life. And then you, as the righteousness of God, are able to bring that eternal life to others and allow people to live forever. Praise God. Rescue them from a place called hell, which is very real. And we need to preach on it and think about it once in a while, just how real it is and what we've been saved from. Be excited about what we've been saved from so that we get stirred up. That's one of the things that'll help stir us up, to get other people saved. Reach other people. You know, just that reality of hell. Thank God for the reality of heaven, but there's a real hell. And we got to help people escape from that dreadful, horrible place called hell. And thank God you and I have what it takes to do it. We have what it takes to do it. We've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We've been baptized in the fire of God. For what purpose? For what purpose? To be witnesses. Notice Acts chapter 1. Jesus said, right after he had risen from the dead, he said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be thrilled and filled and be able to just live an exciting life." I think that's what we've turned the baptism of the Holy Ghost into. Just being thrilled and filled. And for our own personal edification and excitement. Well, I'm all about the excitement of the Holy Ghost. I'm excited about being filled and thrilled with the Holy Ghost. But that's not what he said it was for. That's just a byproduct. Being thrilled with him. Being excited. Experiencing the power of God is just a byproduct of why he baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. This isn't the new birth here. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, when a person's born again, the Holy Spirit enters into them and lives in them. And that has already happened here to the disciples. Jesus, after he rose from the dead, appeared to them that first night, and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and the Holy Spirit came to indwell them. But now, this is several days later, 40 days later, and he says to them, "Now you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you," and this is the purpose, "you shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And so the same reason they were baptized with the Holy Spirit is the same reason why we're baptized with the Holy Spirit today. It's so that we can be witnesses of Jesus. Witnesses that he is alive. He is alive and in power. We have resurrection power to prove that he is alive. And his power, his spirit comes upon us and enables us to be able to share the gospel with others supernaturally so that these people are cut to the heart, convicted, comforted, whatever they need by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is able to do it through us because he is upon us for that very purpose. This is the reason why he's come on us. We've been equipped for this. We have what it takes to do this. We are fully capable. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, you are more than able. You are more than able to bring people into the kingdom of God. Bring people into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's not just you out there sharing something. It's God on you sharing Jesus with the world. So say, let me say, God is on me to do this. I mean, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing, which is sharing Jesus with you, unless the Spirit of the Lord would come upon me. I don't want to ever do this without the Spirit of God. I've had it happen a few times and I didn't like it. And it was my fault, you know. You just kind of miss God. And you know you miss God. You know when you're not yielding to the Holy Ghost. You know when you're doing it in the flesh. That's a terrible place to be. No, but thank God he comes upon us to do this great work. Now, don't sit around waiting until you feel something come on you before you step out and begin to share the gospel. You have already received the baptism. You've already received the equipment. You've already received this power from on high. Now, by faith, step out. And know that he backs you up. He will empower your words. I believe that man that Brother Michael was just testifying about that he met with, I believe that man was experiencing the presence of God, the power of God, the love of Jesus, not just Michael, as great of a guy as he is. And just him taking the time to do that, I'm sure is very impactful. Just that gesture, just that act of love, I'm sure, and the timing of it, being led by the Spirit to do it at that moment after this man had just prayed, was very impactful. But I believe even more than that, God's presence was there to empower the whole experience and to help what this man experienced that day to be able to continue in it, to continue it. So we got to keep our faith on that. Keep our faith on that. Spirit of God is still moving on him and working on him and dealing with him and helping him to submit his life to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. So somebody say, I got power to share the good news. Jesus said over in Mark, the 16th chapter, and in verse 15, he said, go. Go into all the world and love. And love. Now, that's not exactly what it says. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But we know, we've been talking about how that is love. That is the love of God. That's what the love of God does. It brings the Son of God, the gospel of the Son of God, to others. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That is what love does. And really, how can we love without Jesus? How can we do something and call it the love of God? Now, there's human love, but we're talking about the love of God. How can we do anything and call it the love of God if it doesn't involve Jesus, if it doesn't involve the gospel? if it doesn't involve the Word of God. Can't, because God is love. The love of God is God himself. And it's the giving of God, the giving of God's Son. That's the giving of love. So we're to go give love to the world, the love of God to the world. That's what he has called us to do. And we are equipped to do it. Notice over here in Jude 1, notice what it says in verse 20. It says, but you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, what is that? What do you mean praying in the Holy Spirit? Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, what is he talking about? He's talking about praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Well, who prays in tongues? Those that have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because that's what Jesus said over in Mark chapter 16. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll speak with new tongues. That's not French. That's not Spanish. That's not something else. No, this is a heavenly language. It's a new thing. It's a new thing. Something that men have never done before. He said, you will speak in tongues. The Spirit of God will come on you, and you'll speak in tongues. And over, notice, if you hold your place here, to just confirm that this is what he's talking about, that he is talking about speaking in tongues here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and in verse 4, it says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Edifies himself. Well, that means to build yourself up. To edify yourself. To build yourself up. Well, what did he just say over in Jude? You beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. So praying in the Holy Spirit builds you up on your most holy faith. Builds you up. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies or builds himself up. Doesn't just edify himself, he builds himself up. So he's talking about speaking in tongues. So again, he's making reference to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, because speaking in tongue comes with being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak Latin. No, that wouldn't make any sense. Why would God come upon them to speak Latin? That wouldn't make any sense at all. You know, they could just go to school for that. What would you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to help you with that? No, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak with new tongues as the Spirit, began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Holy Spirit gives the utterance when he comes upon you in power to be a witness. So then speaking in tongues has a lot to do with being a witness. In other words, speaking in tongues has a lot to do with getting people saved. Building you up to be a witness, if you put it all together. See, we've just looked at it as, well, you know, just build you up. You know, just build up your faith to be a strong man of faith, be able to receive that new Cadillac. No. You know, it builds up your faith, number one, to be a witness. Or to get people saved. And if you really look here at Jude, that's the context that he's talking in. But you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in tongues. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Speaking of tongues will keep you in the love of God. Well, what does the love of God do? The love of God gives God's Son to the world. The love of God shares the gospel. The love of God shares the good news. See, the love of God isn't just isn't a warm, fuzzy feeling. It isn't just a human love. No, it's this love that brings the gospel, it brings the Son of God to others. That's what this love is. So you're building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in tongues, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, keeping yourself in the love of God, keeping yourself in the place of sharing the gospel with others, looking for, he goes on, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This is all about the mercy of God and eternal life. We've already got it. This is about sharing eternal life with others. That's the love of God. And that's why we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, so we can speak in tongues. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, verse 22, and on some have compassion. See, it was never about you. We're talking about somebody else. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear. See, this whole thing's about saving people, isn't it? Do you see that? He's talking about saving people. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Pulling people out of the fires of hell, where when we see them being dominated by the flesh. We hate that. We don't want to be dominated by the flesh. We don't want the filthiness of the flesh to get on us. Why? Because it could defile us. It can harden our heart to God, and according to Hebrews chapter 3, cause us to drift away from Him. Actually turn away from Him. People start drifting as they get dirty. Getting dirty will make you drift. If you're getting dirty, it's a sign you're drifting. And drifting will turn to turning. And that's why after talking about drifting in Hebrews chapter 3, well, let's just look at it. Hold your place. Hebrews, the third chapter, in verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily with what? How do you exhort people to keep them from departing from the living God? How do you encourage them not to do it? Tell them how great they are. And man, you're doing such a good job. You know, just stick with it, you know. No. How do you encourage them to continue with the living God and not depart? Sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. How often should you be sharing the gospel? But exhort one another daily. Everybody say daily. Daily, while it is called today, lest anyone be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we've become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. I'm very interested in finishing. You can't be patting yourself too much on the back for how far you've come if you haven't finished yet. Let's make sure we finish this thing. We got to finish good. So we need encouragement. Or we need the gospel being preached to us. See, a lot of times we hear these encouragement. We think of warm fuzzies. But no, the encouragement it's talking about is what you're getting right now. The gospel. You're being encouraged right now through the word of God. You need to encourage yourself daily in the word of God. Not just sit there and say, I'm better than this. I can do this. I'm a good person. No. Not just giving yourself a little pep talk in the flesh. Preach the gospel to yourself. Remind yourself of what God says. Talk the word of God to yourself. That's how you encourage yourself. And I got news for you. There's people around you. I know they look wonderful, but they need your encouragement. They need the gospel. They don't need you to sit down and play violins. That's the worldly encouragement. They need you to remind them of Jesus. Remind them of what the Bible said. Remind them of the scripture right here. That would be a good one. You see somebody down and depressed, go up to them and say, hey, brother, man, you remember what the Bible says? It talks about the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, you wouldn't say that to a brother that's not feeling positive about himself. Yeah, it might be the exact thing he needs. to be reminded about the deceitfulness of sin and self-centeredness and getting all self-absorbed and into yourself. How about, like, let's get out of ourselves and get our eyes on Jesus, lest sin get in there and harden us towards our relationship with him and we turn away from him. Let's turn our eyes to him. I mean, you remember what God said to Cain? He said, Cain, why is your countenance fallen? Sin is calling. Literally, it translates, sin is the demon at the door whose desire is towards you, but you should be its master. But Cain didn't listen. He walked away with a sad countenance. Notice God's exhortation. Cain, why is your countenance falling? Why do you look so sad? Don't you know sin is at the door? And it's knocking on your door and it wants to take you out? But you could rule over it. You don't have to give in to it. Change your countenance. Lift up your eyes. Lift up a smile. Give up a shout. Start praising God. Let's start worshiping God right now, brother. Bless God. We're not going to let the devil get in here. In Jesus' name. We don't got time for depression. Depression is departing from the gospel, from the good news. You can't be depressed and have your mind on good news. See, we got to encourage one another daily. We got to shake each other, not try to give each other psychology. Some worldly advice, some fleshly advice. Let's come back to the Word of God. Hey, brother, let's get back on track. Sister, come on. You know that's not what the Bible says you're supposed to be saying and doing. We're exhorters. We're encouragers. And we encourage one another daily in the Word of God. Verse 15, while it is said, today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So, it's back at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. It starts with drifting in chapter 2, and then chapter 3 goes into departing. So we got to watch. People get dirty and they start drifting. And if you stay dirty and in a drifting mode long enough, your heart can become hardened as a Christian and then you depart from the living God. But that's not you and I. That's not the direction. We hate the garment defiled by the flesh. We hate that. We hate that. And we want the fire of the Holy Spirit. And so we're zealous for the fire of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes there's folks, they just need some compassion. They need to know about the goodness of God. Like this man today, he was talking about. That man needed to hear about the goodness of God. But some folks, in order to save them, they need to hear about the severity of God. They need to hear about the judgment of God. Just depends. That's why we got to be led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says, behold the goodness and severity of God. Not just the goodness of God, the severity of God. We got to have them both. We wouldn't be a balanced church if we just, all we want to talk about is good, the goodness and God is love, love, good, love, good. We're going to be so out of balance, we're not going to be able to walk straight. It'd be like going down the road, you know, with a flat tire. I mean, you might go down the road, but you're gonna, you know, it's gonna be a tough ride. You go long enough like that, you know, and then it sparks, and then, I mean, it just gets worse and worse. Then you just destroy the whole wheel. And after a while, it's not even drivable. The whole thing just collapses, you know, right? So we got to make sure that we're balanced. Goodness and severity of God. We understand his mercy, and we understand his judgment. That's why we judge ourselves, because we don't want to be judged. We judge ourselves because we know he's a God of judgment. Well, there's some people that got the goodness thing so much that they're backsliding. They're backsliding. They're licentious. It's like they can do whatever they want because God's good. He's merciful. We can drink. We can smoke. We can do it. Whatever it is, we can do it because God loves me. They got no concept. They don't understand his judgment. They don't understand his judgment. You wouldn't mess around. If you understood God's judgment, you wouldn't mess around with these things because he judges sin. He's not a respecter of persons. He will judge you just like he judges the devil. He'll judge you just like he judges anybody else. Now, he doesn't want to judge you. He wants you to judge yourself so that you can be cleansed and washed of all that mess and you can just enjoy his mercy and grace. That's what he wants. That's what he desires for you. But he will judge you just like he'll judge anybody else. So that's why you judge yourself. We're quick to judge ourselves because we don't want to come under his judgment. It's a fearful thing to fall. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We don't want to fall into the hands of the living God, because our God is a consuming fire. So we want that fire working with us, not against us. We don't want that fire consuming us. We want that fire burning in us and upon us as we live holy, clean lives, walking by faith, walking closer and closer to Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So we're building ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, which is keeping us in the love of God, keeping us in the gospel giving mode, because that's the love of God. It's the gospel giving mode, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some we're having compassion, making distinction, but others we're saving with the severity of God, saving with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garment defiled by the flesh. This is what the scriptures are talking about. Again, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, it's all about being a witness. It's all about sharing the gospel. It's all about getting other people saved. This keeping ourselves in the love of God is all about sharing the gospel with others. Because how much could we possibly walk in the love of God if we're not willing to share Jesus with the world? If I'm not willing to share Jesus to you, how much do I love you? If I'm hiding Jesus from you, how in the world could I be loving you? There's no way I could be loving you and hiding Jesus from you. I've got to let the light shine. I've got to share the good news. Now, the Spirit of God will help you to be tactful. Some are compassion, some are severity. You know, sometimes you're quiet, sometimes you're talking. You know, we got to be led by the Spirit of God. But we have him in us, and he is upon us, and we can do this. If we're looking, if we're not even looking for souls, if we're not praying for souls, if we're not in faith about souls, then we're not looking, we're not listening, and we're not led. We're not going to be led by him in this area. We might be asking him to lead us in other areas and might pick up what he wants us to do in other areas, but we're going to miss it in this area. And this is a major, major part of what God's called us to do. In other words, you'd be missing a major, major part of the purpose and plan of God for your very life here on the earth. So we've got to stir ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, bless God, and asking God for souls. We come into a place and say, Lord, thank you. Give me some souls. Help me to connect with some people. Help me to get some people born again. And you might go in there, and it might not work out. There might be a setup taking place. Sometimes there's, you know, things are strategic. But the point is we're looking. We're not just running up to everybody. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? That's not what we're doing. But we're being led by the Spirit of God, and we're looking for opportunities, and we know this is what he's called us to do, so we're sensitive to it, and we got our faith on it. And so sometimes he's setting it up. He's setting it up. And so it's you meet somebody, there's a connection, some things are said, next time we talk a little bit more, and we just set it up. There's some people, you know, that I haven't shared the gospel with because I'm about ready to do some kind of business transaction with them. And I want to make sure that goes smooth before I bring Jesus into it. Because if I bring Jesus into it and I have to begin to stand up and resist them in this business deal, then they're going to say, oh, he's a Christian. And they're going to immediately use that against the gospel. The devil will use it against the gospel. So we got to be tactful. We've got to be tactful. This is a military operation. We're not just running in and doing what. We have a plan. We might not know the plan, but we do know the commander in chief that we're following. He knows the plan, and we know there's a plan, and so we're going to follow him into that plan. But we're looking. We're listening to him. We're scoping it out. We're spying out the land. Hi. They were skillful at that. Because that's what we're doing. We're here spying out the land. Isn't that what they did in the Old Testament? Go in and spy out the land. And then, remember, he told them, when they got to Jericho, he said, now just don't talk. Don't say anything. Just walk around the wall today. Just take a walk around the wall today. So they walked around the wall. Don't shout. Don't praise God. Don't have your Christian music blasting. Just walk around the wall. There's a whole city. You're going to win a city. You're going to take this entire city. You're going to slay the flesh, man, and you're going to conquer this city. And so second day, they just walked around. Third day, and I love what the Bible says. The Bible says Jericho was securely shut up for fear of the children of Israel. Man, they had extra bolts on the door. And that's a great sign. When somebody seems like they are at their worst and they are the most resistant to the gospel, that's when they're the closest to having the walls fall. They're just a shout away. Don't let that fool you. I'm telling you, some of the people that are the most angriest and the most determined are the most threatened. They know they're about to lose their life. They're about to lose their life. They're about to die to this world. And they're about to be born again. And they'll give you the biggest resistance, man. I've seen that over the years. And they put a big resistance. And then before the night's over, they're saved. And we're shouting the victory. So, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight. So that's okay if they look like they're not listening, they don't want to hear it. And sometimes it's just be quiet. Just walk around the wall. Just walk around them and live like a Christian. Live like Jesus, in other words. I didn't say live like the Christian that lives next door. I said live like a Christian according to the word. I'm talking about living like Christ. Like Christ, be a Christian. Live like him. Walk even as he walked. And some people, you just got to be quiet. You just got to be quiet. Be quiet. And then suddenly the Spirit of God says, okay, let's do this thing. Shout. And then boom, next thing you know, these people are crying and they're giving their life to Jesus. Amen. So we're tactful. But tactful, I think a lot of folks take that and go, oh yeah, I'm tactful. And they go into hibernation. Calling it, I'm being very tactful. I never say anything. Pastor said I don't have to say anything. Just walk around these walls. Like every wall in your, every human being, you're just walking around them. Every human being, just quiet as could be. Being very tactful. Someday. No, you're just being fearful and cowardly. And we need to rise up and be bold. And shout and share and declare the good news. Can you say amen? Yes. Amen, because that's what love does. That's what love does. And love, remember, fulfills. I'm talking about the love of God. The Bible says the love of God fulfills all the law and all the commandments. How many people remember that? Love fulfills. So living the life of love, which is living a life of a soul winner, is a fulfilling life. It's fulfilling. Honestly, I don't think there's anything quite like it. Just sharing the gospel with us, getting utterance by the Holy Spirit, sharing the good news with people, declaring the word of God, and then seeing people's lives getting set free by the truth, and seeing people get born again. Friend, it's fulfilling. It fulfills. It's a part, it's God's part, it's God's way of helping you live a fulfilled life. We don't want to miss out on living a fulfilled life. But we will miss out on living a fulfilled life if we don't share our faith. If we don't share the good news. If we don't share the gospel with others. Now, there are 10 personal benefits to being a soul winner. How would you like to hear them? Yes. 10 personal benefits to being a soul winner. The Lord just gave these to me. Tell them the benefits. I mean, God wants you encouraged to get out there and fulfill your purpose. Here's some benefits. Number one, what I just said. It keeps you fulfilled. Sharing the gospel on a regular basis keeps you living a fulfilled life. We should be living fulfilled. At the end of our day, we should feel fulfilled. We should feel satisfied. We should feel good. We shouldn't feel empty. We shouldn't feel disappointed, missed the mark, didn't accomplish anything. If you get somebody saved, even though you might not have gotten to the laundry or you might not have gotten to that project over there, but you got somebody saved, you shared the gospel, that's the thing that's going to be radiating all over you when you lie down at night and go to bed. Because it just overrides everything. It overrides everything. So, you know, we could miss it on this, and I wasn't able to get this accomplished and this accomplished, but I got somebody saved. That's going to put a smile on your face. Because what is that worth? That's worth more than all the projects and all the things that you had to do today. So sharing that gospel with somebody is going to fulfill you. And if we do it regularly, whether it's getting somebody saved or at least just sharing the gospel or just being led by the Spirit, we know we followed him and we tactfully influence somebody's life for the kingdom of God, that is going to help us to feel fulfilled at the end of the day, regardless of what's in the bank account. It'll bring a supply of joy, a supply of joy that nothing of this world can compare to. That nothing in this world can take away from you. And so that's the second thing. It will cause you to live a happy life. A happy life. Sharing the gospel with others makes you happy. It makes you happy. It keeps you fulfilled because it's love, and love fulfills the law, fulfills everything. And it keeps you full of the Spirit because that's why you were baptized with him. So the Bible talks about in Ephesians, to be ye being filled with the Spirit of God. Be continuously filled with the Spirit of God. How can we be continuously filled with the Spirit of God? Well, speaking in tongues, worshiping God, praising God, but also doing with the Spirit of God that the Spirit of God is upon us for. And that is sharing the gospel with others. Sharing the gospel with others is going to cause you to get full of the Spirit. I'm getting full right now. I mean, I came out here full. As I was preparing, I was getting full. I mean, I sat down to prepare some things, and I felt the anointing. I don't always feel the anointing come over. Man, I just felt the anointing come over. My man, shikala baka tradishte. And I mean, I just started getting good things. Well, what did you get? I'm sharing it right now. The benefits of being a soul winner. Getting out there sharing the gospel will put a demand on the Spirit of God to continuously fill you. You will get full of the Spirit as you share. Well, I was full. I was filled with the Spirit back in, and I do speak in tongues. That's nice. Just because you speak in tongues doesn't mean you're still full of the Spirit. A lot of people are speaking on empty. You know, speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of being filled with the Spirit. It's not the evidence that you are continuously being filled with the Spirit. You get it initially when you're filled with the Spirit, but then you could just dry up and still speak in tongues. Now, usually you can tell when a person's speaking in tongues and they're dried up at the same time. It kind of sounds something like, shata, 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 shata. You're pretty dry. There's not much to your speaking in tongues. So, it keeps you fulfilled. It keeps you full of the Spirit. Of course, if you're full of the Spirit, you're going to be intoxicated with God. So you're going to be a happy drunk. That's what you're going to be, right? Because remember on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And everybody thought they were drunk. People came around and said, oh, they're drunk with wine. Peter had to stand up and say, nope. No, we're not drunk as you suppose. We are drunk, but not as you suppose. Right? And he says, be being filled. He says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So being filled with the Spirit is going to cause you to be a happy drunk. No mad drunks. Some people get drunk, they have rage because they're full of the devil. That's why. But anyway, that's another kind of drunk. Benefit number four. It affects your health. It affects your health. Because being happy is medicine to your body. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Yes. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good like medicine. Does good like medicine. We need the medicine of a merry heart. It affects your health. Now, if we go to Isaiah, and I'd encourage you to turn with me, Isaiah chapter 58. We're going to look at this some more because being a witness will it'll affect your health. It'll help you to receive healing. God wants you healthy. He wants you healed. And, you know, he wants you healthy. He wants you healed no matter what. But let's face it, if we're not down here fulfilling our purpose, well, why get healed? So you could sit and watch another episode of The Days of Our Life? I don't want to get healed so bad. So I can sit home and watch as the tummy turns, as the world turns. You know, soap operas and stuff. Make your tummy turn some stuff. You know? That's what I'm talking about. No. If you're going to stick around down here, then bless God. It should be to serve God. Fulfill your purpose. Otherwise, you might as well just go to heaven. There's a mansion up there. What in the world are you waiting around here for? Why stay here? It's a whole lot better over there. But we're on a mission from God. I said we're on a mission from God. So it's important we're healthy and strong because we got work to do. We got people to save. We got a generation to influence and usher into the kingdom of God. Isaiah 58, verse 6. God was, in the previous verses, is rebuking the children of Israel because they're fasting and they're praying for all kinds of selfish reasons. Fasting and praying for selfish reasons. They were fasting and we're afflicting ourselves and doing all this, and God's not answering our prayers. And so God answers that. And he says, is this not the fast that I've chosen? Not what you're doing. This is the kind of fast that I'm looking for from you. To loose the bonds of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke. Well, the Bible says over in Isaiah chapter 10 that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke or destroys the yoke. The anointing destroys or breaks the yoke. Well, we've been anointed. Why? To break every yoke. Break every chain. Break every chain. That's what we've been anointed for. He says, is this not the fast that I've chosen? Loose the bonds of wickedness. Undo the heavy burdens. You see people bound with wickedness? We got to loose them. You see people burdened? What do? We got the power to undo their heavy burdens. We got the power to undo their heavy burdens. Don't underestimate the power of God on your life. To let the oppressed go free. People are oppressed. They're like in a prison. But you have the keys. You can get anybody out. I said, you can get anybody out. And that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then you do this. You be a soul winner. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. It affects your health. It's going to affect your healing, the healing of your body. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. In other words, your protection. Your protection. And there's more on that we'll get to. Concerning God, one of the benefits is protection. You'll have more safety and security by being a soul winner. And here's one of the reasons. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. He said, this is going to be yours. If you're out there breaking yokes, you're undoing heavy burdens, you're setting captives free, you can only do that by preaching the gospel. It's the truth that sets people free. You're out there doing all this. He says, man, your healing's going to spring forth quickly. Your righteousness shall go before you. It'll be the easiest thing to walk in the righteousness of God. I'm just struggling with so many sins and temptations. Be a soul winner. Be a soul winner. You'll be amazed at how the temptation of sin will begin to weaken in your life. As you're reaching out with the love of God to bring the Son of God to be, and you're love-minded, you're preaching the Son of God-minded. Friend, it's going to be hard for you to be bothered by the devil and the flesh because you're looking for eternal life. You're looking for eternal life. You're looking to spread eternal life around. You're not looking to suck life out of everything. That's all sin is. Sin is just the desire to suck life out of everything. Just get all you can get. But you and I are no longer going to be life-sucking souls. We're going to be life-giving spirits, just like our Master Jesus. Life-giving spirits. Jesus grew up and became a life-giving spirit. Adam was a life-sucking soul. But Jesus became a life-giving spirit, and we're following in his footsteps. See, so it's going to help you with sin. It's going to help you with temptation. It'll get you out of that mess. Isn't that good news? Boy, that just thrills me. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah! I just got to take a shout break for that one. Glory, Lord, your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. Man, we're talking about getting prayers answered. You call, you get answers. Why? Because you're in the love mode, and faith works by love. When you need something, the answer's coming. Because why? Because God's looking and saying, now I will give it to you because you're sharing the gospel. No, God's not withholding any good thing from us. But it's going to open us up to be able to receive. Our faith will now work with much greater efficiency. That's what he's talking about. Your faith is going to be much more efficient. It's not that, you know, God's holding, he's going to hold your healing back until you start getting soul saved. No, this isn't a works thing. Don't turn it into that. That's what my problem is. Why I can't get healed. Everybody's laying hands on me. My hair's getting worn right off my head. It's just terrible. Why? Oh, that's what it is. I got to get people saved. He's not going to get me healed until I get people saved. No, he already healed you on the cross 2,000 years ago. But you receive it by faith, and your faith will become much more efficient as you reach out and fulfill your purpose by walking in the love of God and sharing the gospel with others. So you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here am I. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry, like Michael did, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Here's more benefits. Are you ready? The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. Doesn't matter what the world is experiencing, you're going to be satisfied. And strengthen your bones. That's health again, isn't it? That's talking about your body. It's going to affect your bones. It's going to affect your body. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach. How would you like to walk into heaven and God goes, there he is, the repairer of the breach? Who? What, Lord? Me? Yeah. Everybody recognize you got it stamped on your crown. Repairer of the breach. The restorer of streets to dwell in. We bring restoration. We bring revival. We get people back to the foundations of our faith. So many, even in the church world, have gotten away from the foundations of our faith. But we're going to bring them back, bless God, because we're aggressive to share what we know is the truth with this generation. Can you say amen? Amen. So in summary, basically he's saying, being a soul winner will cleanse or clear out the channels of blessing that have been gunked up by silence, by being silent. When we're quiet, listen, when we're quiet about Jesus, we're getting gunked up. Our spirit's getting gunked up. And there's all these channels that the blessings of God flow through into our life, but it's all gunked up, getting all clogged up. And so this little blessings are dripping through. Little blessings are dripping through. And there's a struggle to receive from God, a struggle to hear from God. There's a struggle to walk in the righteousness of God. There's a struggle to walk in the light of God. There's a struggle. But you get into the soul winning mode, and what's going to happen? Those channels are going to get cleared out, and the blessings are just going to flow. The blessings are just going to flow. Blessings are just going to flow into your life. Isn't that beautiful? It just thrills me. That's number five. Number six, being a soul winner affects your prosperity. It affects your prosperity. One example of that, Peter needed money for taxes. And Jesus said, now this is after Jesus said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm going to make you a fisher of what? Of men. And then Peter needed some tax money. And so the Lord said, go ahead and cast your line in the water. And the first fish you pull out will have the tax money in it. And sure enough, he pulls up this nice fish, opens the thing up, and there's the tax money in the fish's belly. Well, the fish is a type of a soul being caught in the gospel net, being caught because we're fishers of men. And so your prosperity is connected to your soul winning. It's connected to your fishing business. Everybody should have a fishing business. God will bless your fishing business. God will prosper your fishing business. God will pay you for every person that you bring into the kingdom of God. And he'll pay you well. Can I prove it to you? John chapter 4. I'm glad you asked. John, the fourth chapter, in verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. In its context, the work he's talking about is this great harvest that he just said was in front of them. He goes on, he says in verse 35, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Verse 36, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Notice that. He receives wages for what? Sharing the gospel with others. There's a harvest of souls. This is what he's talking about. Is this harvest of souls. A harvest of humans. That would be brought into the kingdom of God. And so he says, he who reaps receives payment. Wages. God will pay you for reaping the harvest. And even if you didn't reap it, if you've sowed, you need to keep your faith on the people that you've sowed the gospel into so that they can get saved, because when they get saved, you're going to get paid. It's like a multi-level thing. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's amazing what people do for their multi-level business. Amazing what they'll do. They'll go out there and they'll get all the people they can to be a part of their multi-level business. And I mean, they'll have things at their homes. They'll have Bible studies in their home. I mean, they'll have business meetings in their home. They'll do all these things and they'll have these outreaches. They get so aggressive. They make the phone calls. They do what it takes. They come to meetings. They come to rallies and they get together. And they say, this is what you got to do. You got to get aggressive. You got to get out there. You got to show these people what to do. Because look, the Cadillac.
You can have a Cadillac. Invest some money in this thing. Go ahead and get a lot of inventory. Put it in your house. Go ahead and just get it. First, attack your family. Go after everybody you know. Exhaust all your connections. And usually people, after they do that, they're done. They just dry up and they got product. They got a stack of product in their garage. It's amazing what we'll do for that. It's amazing how people get aggressive for that. How about the gospel? How about that? How about getting somebody? I got news for you tonight. God's going to pay you for every person you lead to him. And he'll pay you handsomely. So get aggressive. Can you say amen? Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Get your fishing business going, folks. Get it going. Number 7, I got to wrap it up. I know you want this. Number 7, it affects your sanctification and your safety. What do you mean? Well, over in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, put on the full armor of God. One of the things, one of the armor that you're supposed to put on, he says, is to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, be prepared to preach the gospel. If you'll live your life preparing to preach, you go out into your day preparing to preach the gospel, it's going to affect how you walk. It's going to affect where you walk. It's going to affect what you do, because you're all about helping people get saved and not being a stumbling block to people. And then he says over in Isaiah 56, or I'm not sure, but it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Yes, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring the feet. Everybody say the feet. The feet of him who brings good news. That's the gospel. Who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation. Who says to Zion, your God reigns. Notice how beautiful on the mountains are the feet, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's a part of your armor. A lot of people are going out into the day barefooted. They got no armor on them. Can you imagine going into a battle with bare feet? Think about that. What soldier would go into battle with bare feet? That wouldn't be good. He wouldn't do very well. So you have to shod your feet with your combat boots. Put on your combat boots. Praise God forever. And go into battle. No more going out without your feet shod. Number 8, it frees you from fear and increases boldness. We've covered that. Perfect love casts out fear. Number 9, it helps you find your calling and place in God's plan. And we talked about that. We talked about that. Our calling, number 1, is to preach the gospel. A lot of times people complicate callings, and they get focused in on the gifts and the tools. They get focused in on the titles, pastor, evangelist, apostle, teacher, you know, gifts, and all these different things. But they're just tools and titles to help us share Jesus, share the gospel. That's what you're called to do. So you want to find and fulfill your call? Share Jesus. Share the gospel with others. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, number 10. This is it. There's only 10. Are you ready for number 10? Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. It makes you sensitive to God's heart. It makes you sensitive to God's heart. Why? Because it connects you to the plead of God on the inside of you. To have the lost be reconciled to him. He wants the world reconciled to him, and he is in us pleading and imploring through us to the world to be saved. So when we begin to get them saved, we begin to connect to this deep place in God. There's two things that are very, very, that very much affect the heart of God. Two things. Number one, what we talked about on Sunday, worship. Worship affects God deeply. He's seeking those who will worship him. And then number 2, witnesses. sharing the gospel with others, reconciling sinners to God. Those two things affect God deeply. It will connect you to the heart of God, cause you to be more sensitive to Him. Can you say amen? Amen. So in summary, number one, it keeps you fulfilled. It keeps you, number two, full of the Spirit. Number three, it makes you a happy drunk. Number four, it affects your health. Number five, it makes your faith efficient. Number six, it affects your prosperity. Number seven, it affects your sanctification and safety. Number eight, it frees you from fear and increases boldness. Number nine, it helps you find your calling and place in God's plan. And number 10, it makes you sensitive to the heart of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah! Praise God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.